Alright, the Masir Abla.
Today's daf is Kuf Mem, but we are starting, remember, on the Mishnah Kuf Lama Tesla and Beis. So says the Mishnah, Nosnin Maim Agabe Ashmar Mishil Shiyatzolu. You could pour water over dregs on Shabbos. In order, Yitzolu literally means that they become clear. The idea is we'll see that the dregs were often saved for other purposes, but the idea that you would do is before you saved them, before you collected them, you would pour water over them to get out any of the residual wine. So he goes on and he says, "Musanin esayayin b'sudarin u'b'kfifa mitzris." You can go ahead and strain the wine. Sudarin are sheets. Kfifa mitzris. It's interesting actually. Kfifa mitzris is defined different ways in different places. So here in this context, it just means a basket made of twigs. Often, what it means is a basket made of Egyptian palms. But here, Rashi understands it just to mean basket made of twigs. The Nosnin Beitza of Misanen Shel Chardol, you can go ahead and put an egg through a mustard strainer. We actually mentioned this before. Va'osit Anumalin B'Shabbos, and you can make Anumalin on Shabbos. We'll define what Anumalin is. Rabbi Huda Omer B'Shabbos Pekos. Rabbi Huda says that you can make Anumalin, but on Shabbos you can only make a cup's worth because, again, of the Tircha Yisera, the excessive effort involved. B'Yom Tov B'Lagin. Yom Tov, you can make a jug's worth. Ubemoid bechavis, and on chalamoy you can make even a barrel's worth. Rabbi Tzadok says hakolafia archim. You could, everything is made in accordance with the guests you have. I say the whatever amount of anumalin you need for the people who are assembled in your home, that's the amount of anumalin that you are permitted to make. Again, obviously, also we have still have yet not yet defined anumalin. Says the Gemara, Amar Zihiri, no saint Adam yayin salo umayin tulun tochamish Rebbe Shabbos. So Ziri says a person could go ahead and take yayin solo rabos, I mean strained wine, clear water, and you could put it into a sieve on Shabbos, into a mishmeres on Shabbos. So the Gemara says ve'ena choshesh, and and there's no problem. Aval achurin lo, but you may not pour murky wine or murky water through the mishmeres through the strainer. So the Gemara says 1 second. Meisvei, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Torer Adam Chavis Shayayin, Yeina Ushmar Lesocha Mishmeres B'Shabbos. Yet Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that a person Torer, Rashi says Ma'arvev, a person could go ahead and mix up and pour a barrel of wine, right, with its wine and with its dregs, Lesocha Mishmeres, into a sieve on Shabbos, and there's no problem. So we have a contradiction, because the Rashi just said before, Ziri just said before, that you could only pour clear wine and clear water through the sieve. Now we're saying you even go ahead and pour murky wine through the sieve. So which one is it? So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. So the Gemara says, Tirgima Ziri. Ziri explained, Bein Hagitos Shanu. That this is talking about wine that is drunk between the barrels. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Bein Hagitos Shalanu. Shekol Hayenos Achurin. Vishosin Osan Bishmarehem. Hilchach in Kantikun Devlav Haki Meshas. So Rabbi says sometimes, when people would drink wine in the barrels, but in the wine cellar, so they would not necessarily bother to strain it first. They would always drink murky wine just to get in. I don't know if murky is the right word, but you understand what I mean. Unstrained wine.
We've had that before, something else, where something was maybe not perfect, but it was usable.
Right. So the Gemara is saying over here that because people would drink this wine in this state without it even being strained, therefore halacha lemaisa, the straining doesn't accomplish anything. The only time the straining accomplishes something is when a person would not drink it in the unstrained state. But since people are drinking this anyway like this, the fact that you're pouring it through a sieve doesn't make a difference. Therefore, again, according to his Ziri, would be mutter. Umisanin and hayan b'sudarin. You could strain the wine through sudarin. Through a sheet, Amar of Sin Brachia, Obilvach Lo Yaseh Guma. That's assuming that you do not make literally a guma, a hole or an indentation. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Shlo Yaseh Guma Min Hasudar Befiakli Kia Uvda Dichol Nami Asli Deschita. So also what the Gemara is saying is like this: when the Mishnah allows you to pour the wine through the sudar, which is essentially using a piece of cloth as a strainer, you can't have a guma. What does a guma mean? Guma would mean, let's say, the middle of the cloth is hangs down, is depressed. Right? That you can't do. So Rashi says either because of one or two reasons. Either because it's uvda d'chol, it has the appearance of weekly activity, or because you may come to do schita. You may come to squeeze out the wine. So what the Mishnah is essentially saying is if you want to use the cloth as a strainer, the cloth has to be taut. Right? It has to be straight and taut, and then you can pour the wine through it. Says the Gemara, b'kfi for mitzvahs, with this basket made of twigs. Amar Akiva Ashi Amarav, obilvad shlo yadvia mekarki iso shel kli tefach. That's assuming that you do not lift the basket above the karka of the kli more than one tefach. And I will say, what would be the issue over there? So look at Rashi Shlo Yagbiya. Hakfifa mikarkoi zakli atachton tefach kimidas ohel. The concern is that there's a tefach of space between the kfifa mitzvahs and the kli into which the wine is straining. You have created some semblance of ohel. On that thing, the Gemara says, Amarav, hai purunka apalgiye dekuba shari. Akula kuba asr. Look at Rashi. Perunko is beged sheshotkin algigis yailach sosa. This is like a rag that you put on top of a barrel to cover it. Apaga dukula shabi shari. So if you put the rag on half of the opening of the barrel, it's motor. Rashi says because that's not an ohel. However, if you put it on the entire barrel, that is on. I will say we already saw we don't pask in this way. Because again, our idea of ohel has to do with a structure in which you are going to use the inside of the ohel. Here the Gemara is going according to the opinions that says that there's a concept of ohel by kalim also, by these utensils, and therefore you'd have to actually be careful how you cover your utensil on Shabbos. Again, lemaisa, we don't adapt this particular shita. Amarav, Papa, lo nehidik inish si naisa bepume de kuzni de chavisa. All right, so what does this mean? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Lo nehidik inish tzainise bapuma de kuzine de chavisa. It sounds like Chinese. It doesn't like anime. All right, so what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kli cheres katan shema'arin bo yayin nechavis. This is an interesting case. So this is talking about a small utensil with which you used to draw wine from a larger utensil. Lo yitain befev kashin uksamim. Don't plug up the opening of the kli with straw and with twigs. Bechazaka, pack them in tightly. Lefi she'ein lacham misanenes gidolim mizuz. So what they're talking about over here is the following. I go ahead and I use a small utensil to go ahead and draw wine from a larger utensil. I should not pack the mouth of that kli with straw and with twigs. Why would I do that? Because now when I pour off the wine, essentially what could I do? I'm creating a strainer. I'm creating a makeshift strainer. So the Gemara says you shouldn't. So Papa says you should not do that. Mishum demechsei kimishameres, because it has the appearance of a sieve. I will say, of course, it's much more than it has the appearance of a sieve. It effectively is a sieve. The reason why it says it has the appearance is because the nice it's not a formal sieve. It's this makeshift sieve. The beirat Papa shof u'shichra mimana lamana. In the yeshiva Rav Papa, in the house Rav Papa, they would go ahead and pour beer from one utensil to another utensil. So also what that means is, what they would do is they would take the beer without packing the opening of the kli with any kind of straw twigs. But there's an easy way that you could separate out the liquid from the residue from the dregs. What do? You pour it slowly. You pour it slowly at an angle. So essentially only the liquid comes off, but yet again the dregs or whatever the equivalent, the sediment, stays in the other kli. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, V'ha'i amalei Rav Acham edifli Ravina, ha'i kanit sot. So it's, what about the droplets? So what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kitanos hanishofos ba'achrona mitoch apsola shekorn b'raish v'hanamai v'hano mucha deboru." So we'll say, Gemara says that's all fine at the initial part where there's a lot of liquid. What happens when you get to the end? You get to the bottom of the kli, and now you have these little droplets that are mixed in with the dregs, and then it becomes absolutely clear that what are you doing? You're separating out the droplets from the dregs. What do you do there? To which the Gemara answers, not a problem. The truth is, in the house of Rav Papa, they weren't worried about the droplets. So meaning, they did not go ahead and strain themselves to get every little bit of liquid. They drained the majority of the liquid from the kli, and the rest was just left in the kli.
Can you put something solid on top of it?
I'm sorry?
Can you put something solid on top and leave a little opening where the dregs stay back? Or is that...
No, that's barbed kli.
That's barbed
kli. But no sin beats a misanana. So you could put an egg through a strainer, a mustard strainer. Tani Yaakov Karcha Lifnei Lifi She'in Osin Osa Ela Legoven. So as we actually mentioned this before, the reason this is permitted is because the only reason you're doing this is not really to strain the egg. You're doing this for coloring, for coloration purposes. People would drizzle the egg on top of the mustard seed. I guess, similar like you'd put egg on top of challah to give it color, to give it shine. Apparently, they would put egg on top of mustard seed to go ahead and give it shine as well. Itmar, Chardal shaloshum erev Shabbos. If you needed mustard seed, that's needed with a K, right? If you needed mustard seed on erev Shabbos, I'll look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, not yet. So chardal shaloshum erev Shabbos. So we'll say when it says needed mustard seed. Apparently, what they used to do is the following: they would have mustard seed. They would introduce some moisture, some water. They weren't crushing the mustard seed now; they were adding some water into it and creating a mass. That's what they were doing. That's what it means when it says kneading. So, if you kneaded the chardal on erev Shabbos, so the Gemara says lemachar amarav mimachol bikli aval lo biyad. So the Gemara says the next day. You can knead it a little bit more with the utensil, but not with your hand. Look at Rashi. Memacho bikli, mashma zehu shinui shelo. So we'll say the chap is, it's already kneaded on erev Shabbos. If you want to knead it a little bit more on Shabbos, you can. It sounds strange, but only with a kli, not with your hand. What's the pshat? So as Rashi says, it sounds like, according to Rav, that's the shinui. The normal way you would normally knead with mustard is how, apparently, according to Rav, is with your hand. Therefore, you should do it with the shinui on Shabbos, and the shinui on Shabbos would be with a kli. Amar le Shmuel biyad, atu kol yom machole biyad. So Shmuel says, I don't understand. Are you telling me then that normally the way you would need mustard seed every day is with your hand, and therefore on Shabbos the shinui is with a kli? Maichol chamorim hu? Are you needing mustard seed for donkeys? In other words, apparently that kneading with your hands was not considered to be the most fact. I mean, that's not the way that people normally do. You would do it with a kli. Amar Shmuel, no, just the opposite. The macho biyad, the eno me macho bikli. Shmuel says just the opposite. That the shinui is what? The shinui is using your hand and not using a utensil. Itmar. Rabbi Lazar Amar, echad ze, ve echad ze aser. Rabbi Lazar says both are aser. Kneading it with your hand as well as kneading it with a kli are both aser. You can't do it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, echad ze, ve echad ze mutter. Rabbi Yochanan says both are mutter. Abai v'Rava d'Amri Tarvayu, ein halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. Abai v'Rava both come along and say, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yochanan. Kam Rabbi Yochanan b'shitasei d'Rabbi Lazar. So again, Rabbi Yochanan established himself in the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. I will say, what does that mean? Remember, Rabbi Lazar was the one who just said before that echad ze ve'echad ze aser. Rabbi Yochanan said echad ze ve'echad ze mutter. The Gemara apparently says that Rabbi Yochanan recanted and paskin like Rabbi Lazar. Kam Rabbi Elazar b'shitasei d'Shmuel, and Rabbi Elazar went back and changed his shita to Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that you can only do it biyad and you can't do it b'kli. So watch this. So originally, if Shmuel saying biyad yes, b'kli no, Rabbi Elazar says both are mutter. Rabbi Yochanan says both are aser. Everybody changed their mind except Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan then decides to pass like Rabbi Elazar, both are mutter. Rabbi Elazar changed his mind, passes like Shmuel, that only yad is mutter and kli is aser. Abai v'Rava d'Amri Tarvayu. Abai and Rabbi now come along and say halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. That the halacha follows the new Rabbi Yochanan. Excuse me. Abai and Rabbi come along to say that the halacha follows the old Rabbi Yochanan. That it's aser. Okay. So bottom line, it's machlokes. He made the Abaye of delay below Achol. Abaye's mother once made this for him, and he did not eat it. So apparently, she needed for him mustard seed on Shabbos. I guess people ate mustard seed. I don't know if they used it as a condiment or something else. She made for him mustard seed, and he didn't eat it. Divisu, listen to this, Divisu de Zi'ira, avdi leil Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi velo ochel. So the wife of Zi'ira, went ahead and made this mustard seed dish on Shabbos for Rav Chiya bar Ashi, and Rav Chiya bar Ashi wouldn't eat it. So what does she say? This is the Balabasta. What does she say? Amalei, v'rabcho avida leiva achol, v'at lo achal. So apparently Zi'ira was Rav Chiya's Rebbe. So now Mrs. Zi'ira says to the Talmud of her husband, Rav Chiya, your Rebbe eats it, and you're not going to eat it. Right? So I prepare this for my husband all the time, and for you it's not good enough. So they go, Amarava bar Shiva. So watch this. So now Rav Bar Shva says, I was in front of Ravina. Look at Rashi. Ubacha shalei means literally he stirred it or he mixed it. Bishufsa de tumah. Rashi says, and so ishol shum, the middle stalk of garlic. So apparently he was using the stalk of garlic to mash up and to mix up the mustard seed, the mustard seed mass. V'achol, then he ate it. Omar Marzutra, less hilchasa kichol hanishmaisa. Marzutra says that Allah doesn't follow any of these rulings. Eliki hadi itma. Rather, he follows the following ruling. Chardol sheloshu me'erev Shabbos. If you have mustard seed that was needed on Erev Shabbos, lemachar memacho bein biyad bein bekli. The next, as long as the kneading began before Shabbos, you could continue to knead it on Shabbos, whether with your hand or with the utensil. The no saint lasocho dvash. Furthermore, you are permitted to go ahead and mix in honey. Apparently, honey was an ingredient that you added in. Below yitrof, and you should not beat it. You should not beat it. What does that mean? Rashi says below yitrof, kederach shetarfin beitz in bekar. The way you like you whip up eggs. Bekaf derech trefa shemake bekoach. So meaning, at Shabbos, if you want to go ahead and mix it up, that's fine. But you should not vigorously whip it up. You should not vigorously beat it on Shabbos. Elo ma'arif. Rather, you could just gently mix it. Fine. Shchalayim sheshachkan me'erev Shabbos. So shchalayim is cress. If you have cress that you ground up on Erev Shabbos, lemachar nosing l'sochan shemen v'chometz. On Shabbos, you could place oil and vinegar in there. Umamshich l'sochan amita, and you could also introduce amita into it. We'll see. Now Rashi says, interesting, amita is what? Minta bilaz. Amita is mint. Is mint. You could put mint into it. Velo yitrof, but again, you shouldn't vigorously beat it. Ela ma'ariv. Rather, you should just mix it. Rabosai again, so all the common denominator over here is, these are all things that have essentially been ground up and mixed and kneaded already on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, there's no real problem of lush. This is the malacha of kneading is the malacha of lush on Shabbos. So halacha l'maisa, you're not really violating lush, except all the Gemara is saying is, just be careful how you deal with the mixture. Don't mix it up the way you would normally mix it up during the week in a vigorous beating. You can put in the additives and stir it, but don't mix it vigorously. Shum sherisko me'erev Shabbos. If you have garlic that was ground up on Erev Shabbos, lemachar nosein lesocho polu grisin. The next day you could put in there split peas and lentils, or lentils and legumes. Velo yishchok ela me'erev. Velo yishchok ela me'erev. And again, you should not go ahead and ground it anymore, except for the evening before, mamshich es amita l'sochan, and you could go ahead and put amita into it as well. My amita, so now the Gemara says, what is amita? Ninya, which is mint. We actually had this earlier. Mint, amrabaye, shmamina, hayninya, ma'alya l'tachli. So Abaye is just an interesting culinary tip that you see from here, that mint apparently is beneficial in a dish of cress. I'm not going to need that. But also anumalim b'shabbos. You can make anumalan b'shabbos. The Gemara says that's nice. What is right? Tan Rabbanan, osin anumalan b'shabbos. The ain osin aluntis. You can make anumalan, but you can't make aluntis. The ezo hi anumalan. The ezo hu aluntis. What exactly are these particular items? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, look at Rashi for just a moment. That even before we define it, Rashi says the ain osin aluntis she'ena lemashket samei. So also we're going to see over here that these are two drinks. The fundamental difference between them is anumalin was eaten even by brian, even by healthy people, as opposed to aluntis, as we're going to see, was something that was drunk after people went to the bathhouse and had to cool off. So it had a certain medicinal, aspect to it, and therefore falls under the prohibition of refuah on Shabbos. So I think what I was going to say, Ezuhu anumalin, ezuhu aluntus. Anumalin, what is anumalin? Yayin, udvash, wine, and honey, upapolin, and pepper. So that was a drink. So right there, so wine, honey, and pepper. That was a drink, and apparently, again, that was what's called Michael Bria. Healthy people would eat it, and not every drink you consume on Shabbos. Aluntus, yayin, yashan, old wine, umayim, salulin, clear water, va'afar, simon, and balsam. Now, why would you have anumalin? Why would you have aluntis? Da'av dilei lebei masusa lemegar. People would drink it after the bathhouse in order to go ahead and cool down. Amar Rav Yosef, zin nechad. I guess the way is because the bathhouse had intense heat. It's almost, it was like a schwitz, like a sauna. So because that a person comes out of it, they could, I mean, maybe the issue of dehydration, it's an issue of overheating, so they would drink this aguntis right after they got out, I guess in order to rehydrate themselves, to cool themselves down. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, listen to this, Zin nachada alis basra mar ukva lebeibani. One time I went after my ukva into the bathhouse, kinafki asle ashkian chamra. Chamra chad kasa. I came out and I drank one cup of wine. Bless you. Now again, what he's talking about over here is he didn't just drink stam one cup of wine. What he did was he drank this aluntis. He drank this aluntis. V'chashi mibinta derashi v'ad torfa dekari. And I felt its cooling effect from the hair on my head to the nails on my toes. V'i'ashkiyan kis kasa achrina. Listen to this. And if I would have drunk another, cup of this, Havi mistafina dilma minachudi mizechusa da amado asi. I would have been concerned that they would have had to take away from my merits in the world to come. Now, what does that mean? That's what Mar Ukva was saying. What Mar Ukva was saying over here was that if I would have drunk another cup of it, it would have actually put me in danger. Maybe it would have made me so cold that it would have need divine intervention to save me. And remember, to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do a miracle for me in this world, I run the risk of taking away from my merits in the world to come. So obviously a little bit of hyperbole to make the point over here that it really works. V'hamar ukva v'shasi kol yoma. Aye, but what about the fact? Excuse me, this wasn't Mar Ukva, this is Rav Yosef who said this. Aye, so what about the fact that Mar Ukva would drink this aluntis every single day? Shani Mar Ukva. So you see over here that a person could drink everything without having this effect that Mar Ukva is describing, that Rav Yosef is describing. Shani Mar Ukva de Dashbe. So like anything that you get, that you ingest regularly, you develop a tolerance for it. You had a higher threshold. So from Mar Ukva, Abraham drank this aluntis every single day. It didn't have the same chilling effects on him, and therefore he was able to drink it. Fine. Says the Mishnah. Ein shorin esachilsis beparshin. You can't go ahead and shorin. You can't, soak. Thank you. You can't soak. Now we'll say chilsis, we'll see, is very interesting. Chilsis is like some type of resin, some type of gum resin. So you can't go ahead and soak chilsis, the potion, in hot water on Shabbos. Aval, no sin l'socha chometz. But you can go ahead and put it in vinegar. You can put it in vinegar. Narashi points out over here, chilsis, he quotes over here a couple of French words. He says, v'shorin oso beposhrin, v'shosin osan hamayim l'refua. So apparently what they used to do is like this, they take this chilsis, this type of gum resin, they would soak it in hot water, and they would drink the water. They drank the water for medicinal purposes. So you can't go ahead and soak the chilsis on Shabbos, on hot water. But you can go ahead and put the chilsis into chometz, into vinegar. Rashi says, and what would you do? So obviously you're not drinking the vinegar. Then what you would do is you would dip your food into that vinegar, and I guess get the medicinal benefits of the chilsis like that. You can't go ahead and soak karshinin, we'll see, our vetch animal feed. And you can't rub the animal feed. But you could put it into a sifter, or you could put it into a basket. In kovrin es hateven bekavra, you can't go ahead and put the straw into a sifter. V'lo yitnena agave makom kavo, and you can't put the straw in a high place. Bishvil sheyerit hamotz, in order that the chaff separates from it. Aval nosinu bekavra v'nosel socha evos, but you can put it in a sifter if you're just going to go ahead and put it in front of the trough. All right, so you have to define what's going on over here. Ibayluhu, Samara asks a simple kasha. Shara mai. What happens if you soaked it? Rashi says, Chilsis beporshin mai. Beporshin mai. What happens if you went ahead and you soaked the resin in the water on Shabbos? So what is the halacha? Tirgima Rav Adda Nersha, Kameid Rav Yosef, Shara Chayiv Chatos. If you did it, it's according to one of them. If you did it, Mamisha Chayiv Chatos. Amle Abaye Elame Adda, Shara Umtsa Bemaya Hachanami Dinechayiv. Is that to say if you soaked a piece of raw meat, that you're also chayiv achatas? Rose, obviously, everyone agrees that you're not chayiv anything for soaking a piece of raw meat. But you're making a point. What exactly is the chiyuv? What is the issur over here of soaking the chilsis in hot water? Allah, Amar Abaye says, you're right, it's not an issur d'oraisa, rather midirabbanan. So what's the issue over here? We don't want you soaking the chilsis in hot water on Shabbos. Why? Shelo yaseh kiderech shu oseh b'chol. In order that you not do things the way that you do them during the week, the uvda d'chol idea. Since the uvda d'chol is you prepare this gum resin by going and soaking in hot water, we don't want you doing that on Shabbos. Bo'im ini Rabbi Yochanan mirabi Yanai. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yanai the following kasha. Mahu lishros esa chilsis b'tzonim. What about soaking chilsis in cold water? Right, so now again, we won't do it hot water. We'll say, obviously, cold water is a departure from the norm. So let's see, just to clarify, where the Gemara is holding over here is, there is no melacha associated with soaking chilsis, even in hot water on Shabbos. The issue is, uvda d'chol has the appearance of weekly activity. We don't want you to do that. Fine, what about soaking in cold water? Amar aser. He said it's aser. V'ha'anan t'nan, but we learn, ein shorin esa chilsis beposhrin. But I, the Mishnah said explicitly that you can't soak chilsis in hot water. Ha b'tzonin mutter. But yet the inference from that is the fact that the Mishnah Dafka said hot water would seem to indicate that cold water should be okay. Amalei, im kein, ma bein livalach. So I said this is actually a very interesting discussion. See here, Rabbi Yochanan is asking the kasha from Rabbi Yanai. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Yanai, can you soak the chilsis in cold water? Right? Rabbi Yanai says, asur. Rabbi Yochanan responds, "I. What about the fact that the Mishnah seems to indicate that it's mutter?" So Rabbi Yanai says, "So what there's in me and you?" Rabbi Yanai was the greater Talmud Chacham, right? Rabbi Yanai was one step above Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yanai essentially says, "If I would not be able to answer this question, what would be the difference between me and you?" Which is another way of saying ultimately that you know I'm going to give you an answer to this question. So, very simply, the Mishnah reflects the view of a single Tana. The Mishnah is not reflective of the collective view, it's reflective of a singular view. This Tanya, in shorin es achilsis, you may not soak chilsis, lo b'chamin v'lo b'tzone. You can't soak it in hot water, nor can you soak it in cold water. Rabbi Yossi says, b'chamin, aser b'tzone in mutter. Rabbi Yossi says, you can't soak it in hot water, but you can soak it in cold water. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? That our Mishnah apparently is reflective of the view of Rabbi Yossi, who is a Tani Yechida, right, the singular opinion, as opposed to the opinion of the Tana Kama, which is reflective of the Rof, who holds that you can't soak chilsis in cold or hot water. Therefore, Rabbi Yarai says back to Rabbi Yochanan, again, you can't bring a raya for the Mishnah. Lemay Avdile. And also, just so you should know, that happens to be how the Rambam paskins, right? The Rambam does paskin that we don't soak chilsis in hot water, old cold water, because again, there's no issue. This issue is not one of bishul over here. The issue is one of uvda d'chol. So Gemara goes weiter. L'may avdile, what do you make chilsis for? Right, so now, Rashi mentioned before that you go ahead and you make chilsis, you soak it in water in order to go ahead and drink it for refuah. What is it a refuah for? L'yukra d'liba. Yukra d'liba literally means heaviness of heart. Rose said, this is not talking about like an emotional state. Right? So what he means over here, if you look at Rashi, Yukra d'liba, shelibo kaved alav. So maybe it means like chest pain, right? Or maybe like a tightness of the chest. But it means some type of I'm sorry?
Not threatening,
right? Some type of chest discomfort, lung discomfort, breathing discomfort, heart discomfort, whatever it is, it's some type of discomfort. Rav Acha bar Yosef chash b'yukra d'liba. So Rav Acha bar Yosef was once suffering from a heavy heart, again a physical condition. Asa l'kamei d'mar ukva, came before Mar Ukva. Amr Lehi said to him, Zil shasi t'lasa tikli chilsisa b'tlasa yomi. Right? Go ahead and drink. Right? Literally, look at Rashi over here. T'lasa tikli, Rashi says, t'lasa tikli chilsisa mishkal gimel zuhuvin. Drink 3 gold pieces weight of chilsis. He was giving him a volume, right? Go ahead and drink the weight of 3 gold pieces, b'tlasa yomi, over the course of 3 days, and you'll feel better. Azal ishti chamsha b'shabbos umali shabbos. So it's interestingly enough, apparently, I guess this happened either on a Thursday morning or a Wednesday evening. So he took the first dose on Thursday, the second dose on Friday, and the shaila was what? The third dose should be on Shabbos. But remember, again, drinking the chilsis is refuah. He's drinking it for a heavy heart. So what should he do on Shabbos? That's very interesting. L'tzafra azol sha'ol be'midrasha. So in the morning of Shabbos, right, which is supposed to be the third dose, he comes and he asks in the Beis Medrash, what should he do? Amrulei, Tana de Bei Rav Ada, va Amrulei, Tana de Bei Mar Bar Rav Ada. So they said to him the following, Shosa Adam Kav O Kavayim, ve'in l'choshesh. A person could go ahead and drink a kav or a kavayim, and they don't have to be choshesh. What does that mean? Take a look at so Amrulehu, lishtos lo kami bayili. Ki kami bayili, lishros. So interestingly enough, he said, so they told him in the Beis Medrash, you could drink it. So he said, my question is not drinking it. What's my question? My question is making it. Right? To drink it, I understand. If I already have it, I could drink it. Shaila is, can I make it on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Amrulehu rachiyah bar avin, bididi hava ovda. This mamish happened to me. Va'asoi she'ilte livrat adabar ava. And I went to ask the Shayar Vadamar Abba, V'lo Hava Biyadeh, he didn't know. Asi She'ilti Rav Huna, so I went to ask Rav Huna, V'amar Hachi Ka'amar Rav, and this is what Rav said, Shora B'tzonein U'maniach B'chama. What can you do in this particular situation? You can go ahead and soak it in cold water, and then let it sit in the sun to heat up. We'll say, remember again our sugi beforehand, told us Chama, is mutter on Shabbos, right? You're allowed to heat things up in the sun on Shabbos. So essentially, put it in cold water. That's a shinui, and then let it get heated up by the sun. Kiman dishari, af kiman dishari. So the Gemara says, well, this would seem to be going in accordance with the one who says that halach lemaisi, you could put chilsis in cold water on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, no, afilu leman da'aser, even the one who would normally prohibit the preparation of chilsis on Shabbos, even in cold water, in this case with Zeis Mutter. Why? Hani nili hecha delo ishti klau. When do we say that you can't make chilsis even in cold water on Shabbos? That's when you haven't started the regimen, right? Right? Yeah, you have not started taking the medicine. Aval hocha kevan de ishti chamshu malay shabsa. But since again, the remedy was drinking it for 3 days, and you already started drinking it on Thursday and on Friday, e lo shasi b'shabbos mistachim, right? If you don't go ahead and, if you don't drink it on Shabbos, what's going to happen? You're going to have a relapse. So we'll say again, so you understand why this is such a lemaisa sugya, because now what we're talking about over here is we've just gone now from saying that you can't prepare chilsis on Shabbos, and it seems to be lemaisa, the majority opinion is you can't soak chilsis, whether it's in cold water or in hot water. Now the interesting shayla that came up, somebody was taking chilsis already for heaviness of heart, the physical condition, yeah. Heaviness of heart. The remedy was, take it on Thursday, Friday. You need to take it 3 days. He took it Thursday, Friday. Now, Shailas, can you make it? So again, if you have chilsis ready on Shabbos, that seems to be easy. Everybody's going to let you take it. Shailas, can you make chilsis on Shabbos? Ah, so yeah, you can. How can you make it? Make it in cold water, that's better. And let's sit in the sun to heat it up. Aye, so that must be according to the opinion who holds that you can make chilsis to begin with in cold water. No, this is the Gemara. Even according to the opinion that says you can never make chilsis in cold or hot, would allow it here. Why? Because again, in situations where if a person is not going to finish the regimen of medicine, they're going to have a relapse of their condition, they would, remember, this is all Dirabanan over here. So you're talking about multiple layers of Dirabanan. Refuah on Shabbos is Dirabanan. Soaking chilsis on Shabbos is Dirabanan. Ubda dechol. The rabbis suspend their laws in this case where a person is going to suffer a relapse if they don't take the medication. So Moshe, that's why, for example, sort of Moshe Feinstein said, Rav Chaim Paskins, this exact type of situation, that if a person is on a multi-day antibiotic, normally we would say, if a person could skip a day, right, or a person could push off taking the medicine, so push it off. But let's say I have a situation where I might have to take the medicine. Not life-threatening. Obviously, if there's life-threatening, or anything close to life-threatening, there's not a shayla. I have a strep throat. I have an ear infection. It's just that I'm in pain. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know if that's a good example, but, you know, I'm just using it as an example of non-life-threatening situation. Ramosha says if it's a multi-day regimen of medicine, that and if you miss a day, it could potentially, you know, reverse the effects of the medicine. You are permitted to go ahead and take it on Shabbos. Mamish, where does it all come from? Amazing. Comes from chilsis. Everything good comes from chilsis. Okay, right there. So the Gemara says the following: Mistamech va'ozlo Rav Acha bar Yosef, akasve Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak bar Achse. So I will say, look at Rashi just a moment. No Rashi yet. Okay. So literally, just the translation of these words is Mistachim Mistamech means that Rav Acha bar Yosef was walking along and leaning on. The shoulder of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the son of his sister. Amarlei, ki matinu lebei Rav Safra, ailine. When we get to the house of Rav Safra, I want to go in. Rashi says, Ailine hachnisini v'ish zakin haya. Obviously, Rav Acha Yaakov is an old man. That's why he can only walk supported by his nephew, Rav Yosef. When they get to the house of Rav Safra, take me in. Kimatu Aile. When they got to the house of Rav Safra, they went in. Ba'imine, and he asked the following kasha. Bless you. Mahu likaskuse kisna b'shabsa. This is an interesting case. Can you go ahead, likaskuse? Can you go ahead, look at Rashi. Likaskuse kisna. Choluk shal kishna. We're talking about over here a linen shirt, shenis kapsa, that was laundered. Vahari hi kasha. Now, also, here's what's interesting. Apparently, after laundering the shirt was hard. Like, the shirt was rigid. So what did people like to do on Shabbos? What people like to do was, so what people would do is they would take the shirt, and what would they do? They would crunch it up, and they would roll it around in their hands to soften the material again. Now what's interesting is, as a result of doing that, Rashi says, apparently, by rubbing the garment, the whiteness of the garments would become more pronounced. So again, I have this shirt back from the laundry. It's stiff. I want to roll it up to soften it. But in the process of rolling it up to soften it, I also accentuate the whiteness of the utensil. So of the garment. So he asked the Shaila of Rav Huna. Excuse me. He asked the Shaila of Rav Safra. Thank you. Of Rav Safra, can I go ahead and do this on Shabbos? Can I do this on Shabbos? Malus v'sikis v'shabbosa. L'rachuchei kisna kamachabin v'shaper. I mean, on one hand, my intention simply is to go ahead and soften the garment, and that's fine on Shabbos. O dilma la'aludi chiyura kamachabin ba'asar. On the other hand, maybe part of my kavana is to whiten the garment. Remember, I both say whitening the garment on Shabbos would be what? Would be an issue of malabi. Right? It would be an issue of whitening. Right? It's an issue of laundering on Shabbos. So right, Rav Safra, what do you have to say? Rav Safra Paskin, since your clear intent is to soften the garment, that is, even if the whitening happens, that's incidental and it's totally fine. Kinafik Asa, Amrle Mai Ba'a Marmine. So when he came out, so apparently Rav Nachman waited outside. Rav Nachman waited outside, so now when. Sorry, I keep getting names mixed up over here. Right, Rav Acha, Rav Nachman, the nephew, waited outside. Rav Acha Bar Yosef came back from asking Rav Safra the Kasha, and now Rav Nachman asked Rav Acha Bar Yosef, tell me, Amarle, my ba'a marmine? What did the master inquire about? Amarle, to which Rav Acha Bar Yosef said, I asked Rav Safra, ma'olu saksuchi kisna b'Shabbos. Can you go ahead and rub a linen garment that has been laundered on Shabbos? But Amar Lein Rav Safra responded to me, Shapir Dami, it's okay. Viti boile lemar sudra. But instead of asking just simply about the garment, why don't you also ask about a sudra? So also we'll see a sudra is a linen kerchief. A linen kerchief, right? So to which Rav Acha Bar Yosef says, sudra lo kami boile. I don't have a question about sudra, about the linen kerchief. Why? Divoyimi Rav Huna upashitli, because I asked Rav Huna, and Rav Huna answered me that. Look at Rashi. Rashi says the following. Upashitli v'tifshot le lemar misudra. So why don't you go ahead then and learn out the halacha from the sudra, from the kerchief to the linen clothing? Amaleis, very simply, hasam mechsi ki alude chiyura. In the case of the kerchief from Osai, it seems to be more apparent that when a person rubbed it, they are rubbing it in order to accentuate the whiteness. Because of that, again, there's an issue of malabe, and therefore you can't do it on Shabbos. Hacha lo mechzi ki elude chiyura. But apparently in the case of rubbing clothing, it's more common that people will do this not necessarily to accentuate the whiteness, but rather, again, just to simply soften up the garment. Amar Rav Chisda, Hai kisinsa, mishalfu ledida makanya. So now we'll say kisinsa is the same thing as the linen garment. So this linen garment, mishalfu ledida mekanya. So what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, mishalfu ledida mekanya, kisheshotchin osa lenagva, tochvin kana mi beis yad le beis yad. So apparently when they would launder a linen garment and then they wanted to dry it, what they would do is, this is essentially a Talmudic hanger. They would take a long piece of wood, and they would insert it from one sleeve to the other. So they would hang the garment out to dry like this. So Rashi says, obviously they didn't have hangers. So what did they use? You used a piece of wood. What were you going to use the piece of wood for afterwards? To kindle your fire. So therefore, the Gemara is something very interesting. That if you have a linen garment that's on top of this, we'll call it hanging on this Talmudic hanger. So on Shabbos, what you could do is, v'shafu l'dida mekan yashari. To remove the garment from the hanger, you can do. Kanya mimena aser. To remove the hanger from the garment, that you can't do. Why? Because the hanger, i.e. the piece of wood, is muksa. So to be able to help the muksa, to handle the muksa directly, that you're not permitted to do. Obviously, we'll say, yes, when you take the shirt off the hanger, what's going to inevitably happen? You're going to go ahead and move the hanger. But remember, we've seen already, that's tiltul min atzad. That's incidental or secondary or unintended movement of muksa, which is mutter in a situation of need. Amar Rava, Rava says, v'im kli kiyuhihu mutter. So Rava says, if let's say the wood that's being used is not firewood, but instead is a weaver's rod, then it's mutter. Then it's mutter. Why? Look at Rashi. Bim kli ki yuihi, konasha orgim, the Torah's kli alav shari. Because very simply, that staff, that rod, that piece of wood has the status of a kli, and therefore it's not mukta. Amar Rav Chista, hai kishta diyarka. Kishta diyarka is a bunching of herbs. So, hai kishta diyarka, I chazya lemaicha behema, if it's usable for animal feed, shari l'taltule, then you could go ahead and carry it. V'ilo, and if it's not usable for animal feed, asir, then you can't go ahead and carry it on Shabbos. Okay, look at Rashi, well, Rashi not yet, I'm sorry. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ravashi, Amar Rav, hai talya de bisra, shari l'taltule. Similarly, again, this talya de bisra, will say, it's a string of meat. Look at Rashi just a moment. Talya de Visra, Basar Maliach, this is salted meat, Hatalui Liavsho, that is hung up in order to dry it out, Umeloha Chevel Kari Talya, right? And the rope, so right? Stringed up meat, they would go ahead and hang the meat. So this string of meat, you could go ahead and carry it on Shabbos. They will say, why is that? Because remember, raw meat, technically speaking, would be edible. Some people would eat it, right? After some, you know, meat tartare, and certainly it's usable for animals. However, the kavri asr, here's what's interesting. I guess this is a mefurish arai against sushi. So he says over here, but again, a string of raw fish, so that's muktza. Why? Because nobody in the right mind eats raw fish. Who eats raw fish? Right? The kavri asr. Amar Rav Katina, so we'll say now Rav Katina comes along and mentions a couple of different moral, ethical, as well as monetary laws. Amar Rav Katina, ha'omid be'emtza hamita, if someone stands on the bed of a married couple, ke'ilu omid be'kreisa shel isha, it's as if he stands on top of the stomach of the woman. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, be'emtza mita, she'ish ve'ishto regilim balishon. What the Gemara says, what Rav Katina was saying over here is that a person should not sit or lay on a bed of a married couple. Why? Because since again the person will know what happens in that bed, it elicits impure thoughts in the minds of the individual. So the Gemara says, but in the end, we're not worried about this, right? We know that a person can look at a bed as a bed and doesn't automatically have to elicit impure thoughts. Amar Rav Chista bar Beirav de Zabin Yarko. So Rav Chista gives another interesting piece of advice. If a Talmud Chacham is buying vegetables, Lisbin Aricha, you should make sure to buy the longest bundle. Why? Kisha Kikisha. Now here's what's interesting. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kisha Kikisha, Shekol Agudas Haganin Shavos Ba'ovyan, Shalachob Nid Achas Bechevel Shu Agubas. Here's what's interesting. Because the thickness is the thickness. What does that mean? That apparently, I guess when vegetable merchants would package the vegetables, so the bundles came in a certain thickness. So the thickness doesn't vary bundle to bundle. So, but what can you get? What's the added benefit? If you have the length, right? So interestingly enough, apparently also, you wouldn't get charged, meaning the bundles had a set price. So you can chop an iron over here, if you can get a little bit more, if you get the longer vegetables, so you get a little bit more for your dollars. Just a good piece of shopping advice. The length just is an extra bonus. V'amar Rav Chista, bar be'rav de zabin kanya, Right? Similarly, if a Talmud Chacham is going to buy reeds, Barbe Rav Dezabin Kanyo, Lizbin Aricha, you should try to buy the longer reeds. Why? Tuna, ki tuna. Because a bundle is a bundle, V'orcha Memela. But ultimately, again, the length is an additional bonus. Right? Well, so, you know, we'll have to stop over here for today. So I apologize. You're going to have a good amount of, well, it's good Gemara. It's not difficult Gemara for homework. Yeah, you know what I'm going to ask you to do, actually? I'm going to ask you to go to the Mishnah Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So you'll see it's about three lines down from the top. We'll start Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph tomorrow in your session.